There's something that listeners need to be aware of that's ending this week that we'll get to in a moment, something that Milorganite's doing for their faithful users. But before we get there, let's talk specifically about the history and development of Milorganite.
Well, I always say that Milorganite was green before it was the hip and trendy thing to do. So over 85 years ago, the city of Milwaukee started looking at a way of recycling the byproducts of our water treatment program and developed Milorganite. And they did it in a way that it's basically pathogen-free. They test daily and weekly. So they took this problem and created a wonderful fertilizer that gardeners can use. And for many, many years, a lot of people know it for lawns, for golf courses, but it's also labeled and good on your vegetables, flowers, trees, shrubs, anything. And that's one of the things I like about it. It's goof-proof. It's one product for every need, and it's easy to do. And it's a safe product that's really held a very high standard. The other cool thing that they've done recently, which I think ties so nicely to Earth Day, is they're pumping methane from a local landfill to the Milorganite plant to use that as the majority of their heat source. And so they're really reducing the use of fossil fuels in the production of Milorganite. So yet another step at being kind to the environment and making this not only a useful product for gardeners, but something that's manufactured and prepared in a way that has the least minimum impact on the environment.
That really is incredible. And you said something there that I didn't know. I was aware that it was a reclaimed product. I had no idea they were using methane from the landfill to heat and bake the product.
Exactly. And that just started not too long ago. In the last few years, they were able to make that connection. And so basically, Milorganite is a pelleted fertilizer, just like any other fertilizer. Nice, equal size, so it's easy to use. And it's kiln dried, and that's what kills any pathogens, basically making it free of any pathogens. And it's a product that's even exported into Canada, which has some very strict regulations on use of chemical products, pesticides, and fertilizers. And so because it's exported into Canada, it's held to even higher standards than we do here in the United States.
And let's just bring up a few of those standards, not necessarily as it relates to Canada, but here in the States through the EPA.
Right. Milorganite's the exceptional quality product, and so it's the gold standard. And in fact, many municipalities looking at doing something similar look to Milorganite. Funny story, I was visiting my uncle, who was an assistant to a mayor in a small town in southern Ohio on Thanksgiving, and he took me to their water treatment plant the day after Thanksgiving. Somebody always does after Thanksgiving. So we go to the water plant, and the guys are looking at me like I'm crazy, and I told them that I work with Milorganite, and they were, oh, they are the gold standard. So, you know, people look to Milorganite because they have a system in place that really does an effective job at creating a usable product, and it's safe. Biosolids, what Milorganite is, they're held to a higher standard than synthetic fertilizers or natural products and manure. So it's really something that's really scrutinized and screened for safety reasons.
I love what you said. I may have to steal this line from you because these are the two best words, because we could have the perfect garden and anybody could make a mistake, could screw it up. But goof proof. I mean, those two words together say so much when it relates to your garden.
Oh, and especially in areas like you where you have hot, dry periods, we can't complain to you guys, but, you know, much of the country suffered heat and drought. I know nothing like you guys. But, you know, if you use Milorganite and you put it down and it turns hot and dry and you don't water, or even if you are, the plants are under such stress, what happens is that product sits there until the conditions are right for plant growth, are also the conditions right for the microorganisms that break down that Milorganite and make it available to the plant. So if it's not good for the plants, the Milorganite's not going to burn the plant roots. It's not going to leach through. It's just going to sit there waiting for those conditions to improve for the plant. And that's very exciting. And the other exciting thing is research has shown that when the microorganisms do work on releasing the nutrients from the Milorganite, they release some of the phosphorus and potassium bound to our soil. And for so many years, we've been using 10-10-10, 20-20-20, 12-12-12 complete fertilizers. And as you know, the plants don't use the phosphorus and potassium at the same amount level that they use the nitrogen. Phosphorus and potassium moves very slowly through our soil, tends to bind up, and isn't always available to the plant. So this whole process with the microorganisms releasing the nutrients from the malorganite also released some of those nutrients, and phosphorus, good for root development and flowering and fruiting, and potassium, good for disease resistance and hardiness. And so it kind of is, I call it an added benefit. You know, you're not putting it down with the malorganite, so it does have 2% non-leaching phosphorus, but you don't even have any of that potassium, and it's releasing it and making it available from the soil to the plant. And then iron. For so many of us, iron is an issue. It's good for greening. There's 4% in a form that's plant available, and it won't stain your walks and patios and drive.
Have you been to the manufacturing plant for malorganite?
You know, it's a place I wish I could take everybody, because the first thing you notice is it's clean, which you don't think of a fertilizer plant being clean.
I'm picturing this place like the Jetsons.
Exactly. And it kind of is. I mean, it was really they call them the sewage socialists back, you know, that set up the malorganite plant, really had great vision. And they set up a process that would be very expensive to do right now. And it's really an amazing place. That we need to get you to Milwaukee to take you on a plant tour. But it is pretty amazing. There is a video on their website, malorganite.com, that shows how it's made. So you get a little bit of a feel of that factory and what goes on. But it's very highly mechanized, very clean. You know, they have labs that pull the product every day, and they test and look for any kind of issues. And then they also test weekly. So it's a highly scrutinized product. And one of the things I love about working with them is they really put the quality first and making sure that it's, you know, a safe and effective product to use on your plants and good for the environment.
And when we're talking Earth Day, it doesn't get any closer to the Earth than this.
That's true. Very good. And, you know, I think, and just like you, anything we can do to be eco-friendly, from the fertilizers we choose to picking the right plant for the location so we use less resources to grow it, it all fits together. And I think every little bit makes a huge impact.
Thank you for taking time out of your Saturday morning to join us.
Well, thank you so much. You have a great growing season, and we'll talk to you soon and compare notes on how things are going in both our gardens.
Miss Melinda Myers, thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
And with that, we'll get right to our callers. Chris is on the line, has a question for John J. Harper about shade trees. Good morning, ma'am. How may we help you?
I'm going to take you off speaker. Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, hello. I called last week. I was your last caller. And I wanted to know about a shade tree in my backyard. Our previous one that we had been growing for 20 years fell over, so we need to replace it. When I called, the person, Jay recommended a Leslie Roy mesquite.
No.
And my question is, where do I find it?
I didn't recommend a Leslie Roy mesquite.
That's an actual type of mesquite?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think there's a Leslie Roy, it might be a mesquite. That's something that I think Savano, was it Chris?
If it was our last caller last week, it very well could have been.
From Savano, and that's a Tucson nursery. You'd have to call down there and see if they can sell to you. I don't know that anybody in Phoenix will have that. It's an exclusive variety that they've developed themselves, and I don't know much about it, quite honestly.
What would a good mesquite for Mesa be?
Well, all mesquites do well here. You know, mesquites are, you know, very hardy, very heat tolerant, fast growing. You know, we plant a number of different kinds. I like the honey mesquite that has the very lacy foliage. It does have some thorns, but that's one of my favorites. But all mesquites are great trees for here. If you have a desert type landscape and gravel. Now, do you have grass or gravel, or what kind of landscape do you have?
Gravel.
Okay, well. The mesquite would be great. Palo Brea or the hybrid Palo Verdes are great. Oaks are great in either grass or gravel. So there's three good recommendations for you right there.
We appreciate the call, and we'll get you Savano's number just for reference so you can do a little bit more on that. What was it?
Leslie Roy. I remember him saying Leslie Roy. I don't remember if that's a mesquite. I don't know that, but that's an exclusive that they have.
So. We'll have to put that on the follow-up list. Nancy. In Scottsdale with a citrus question. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I don't know if it's two different issues that I have, but in our orange tree, we have an area where it's just become quite dead. Everything has all leafed out nicely, but it's a rather large area. And I've noticed that the ends of her branches also have a lot of dead wood. So my husband and I went in, and we were cutting away this dead wood and noticed that the bark looks like it's been gnawed or chewed at or removed. And is that what is causing my problem, or is there two different things that are going on?
Could be a number of different things going on. Is the tree well canopied? I mean, up at the top, if you look at the tree from the outside looking in, do you see nothing but leaves?
Yes, it is pretty dense.
All the dead stuff is up inside the tree?
No, it's more on the ends right now, but there is a lot at the top also.
Out on the ends.
Yes.
Well, you could have had some frost damage,
okay.
Number one, which could have burnt or killed some of the tips of the branches. So you can certainly prune those back to where you have green. Don't prune any more than that. We don't want to open that canopy up. Now, the gnawing or scraping on the inside of the tree, there's a couple of different conditions. Number one, it could be an animal or a critter doing that. But it also could be a disease that occurs on citrus that causes that. And the main thing is you maybe want to get some tree paint, kind of paint over that and kind of seal those wounds up a little bit. But fertilize the tree good, make sure it's getting plenty of water so it puts on new growth, and make sure we have a great canopy that we don't get any sunburn or anything down inside on the main branches and limbs of that tree.
Nancy, we appreciate the call. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you.